Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Rebag, your premier destination for luxury resale. Elevate your style with our curated collection of bags, watches, and fine jewelry. At Rebag, quality is our priority. Each piece meticulously vetted and verified by experts, ensuring your investment is nothing short of perfection. Buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermès, Chanel, and Cartier. Access expertly crafted and hard-to-find pieces that redefine luxury. Your next investment awaits at Rebag. Get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's 10% off the luxury you deserve. Don't miss out. Head to Rebag.com and enter code REBAG10 at checkout. That's REBAG10.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Hey everybody, I'm John Cena.
Hey, it's professional wrestler Colt Boom Boom Cabana.
Hey, I'm Double J, Jeff Jarrett.
This is Rich Swann.
Matt Riddle, the King of Rose.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Do it, bro.
Support Ollie. Support Luke. Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Home of Luke Owen. Whatever WrestleTalk is and whoever Luke Owen is. Quote the Raven. Nevermore.
WrestleTalk Rumble. Now it's live.
Hello and welcome to the WrestleTalk podcast. I am Corporate Chopper. Yes, I'm back on SmackDown podcast reviews. You missed me, I know you did. And I'm also joined by Randy Andy Datson.
Hi, Chopper. I missed you, even if no one else did. I missed you a lot. We are, of course, the hosts of the SmackDown Review, the most listened to podcast in the WrestleTalk catalogue. We are so interesting.
We found that out recently, that apparently this podcast version of the SmackDown review is the most consistently listened to show out of all the WrestleTalk podcasts we do, which is mental. When you compare that to the YouTube comments, who don't really like at least one of us on any given day.
They're not like me.
Occasionally someone will just be like, man, isn't that Andy really boring? And then another week they'll be like, wow, this SmackDown review is so much better now that Pete isn't here. I saw that one when I was off. It was really nice.
I've never seen anyone call me boring. No.
Yeah.
Who were? Oh, well. I think it's just you. You're just projecting.
Probably.
Well, thank you, everyone, for listening to this. I know we are incredibly interesting.
Totally.
So, yeah, but we're going to talk about SmackDown, I think, first. Pete looked confused.
Yes. We are. Sorry, I got a Discord message and I got very distracted. Yes, let's talk about SmackDown, where we're going to be talking about a kind of serious injury that happened on the show, which was pretty shocking in terms of the timing for this person, as well as an unfortunate injury to Chelsea Green, making her SmackDown debut. So let's talk about it. On last night's SmackDown episode, there was a very surprising return, which led to quite immediate heartbreak, as there was a Women's Survivor Series match qualifier. It was a triple threat. Originally started with Natalia backstage with definitely not the GM, Adam Pearce. And she was saying, why can't you just put me in the Survivor Series team? I'm amazing. Just put me in the team. Why do I have to qualify? Just put me in the team. And he was saying, ooh, sorry, already scheduled a triple threat match, which is actually next between her, Tamina, and Liv Morgan. Winner goes on to the Women's Survivor Series team. All good so far. But then the camera pans, and it's Chelsea Green, who's not been seen on SmackDown ever, and who's not been seen on the main roster since, like, before WrestleMania, I want to say. It's been a long time since she's been around. Despite her being called up from NXT all that time ago, she's not been used at all. She's even been quite vocal on Twitter, being like, I haven't wrestled since May. What's happening? She finally got to wrestle. They changed it to a fatal four-way after the three of them had made their entrances. They said, we've been told it's now been changed to a fatal four-way. Out comes Chelsea Green. Everyone goes, oh, okay. And I was like, oh, Chelsea Green on the SmackDown Survivor Series team. Cool. Interesting. Some indifferent. I'm okay with that. But unfortunately, after the initial scuffle of the fatal four-way, Chelsea Green wasn't seen for the rest of the match. I thought that was just some sort of weird programming choice. Turns out she actually got injured and she's broken her arm.
Yes.
Which is very unfortunate for her. The timing as well, to not wrestle since May and be very vocal and be like, I just want to get back in the ring. I haven't wrestled since May. First wrestling match you have back and you pick up an injury like that. It's just not great for her.
It was all very strange. Yes, obviously nice that she's getting a match finally. The whole Natalya thing backstage, it's like, I'm not going to rag on Natalya. I don't think she's very good. So that's why you've got to qualify Natalya. It's really, really poor timing because she's waited so long for this. And it was so innocuous as well. It was just a drop kick from Liv Morgan. She fell and then we didn't see her again. The ad break, she came back and no one said anything.
Nope.
No one was like, she's gone. And she was, according to reports, supposed to win the match. She was booked to win, and because of her injury, they had to basically make her do a vocal, not a vocal, what's it called? Call an audible.
Yeah.
Call an audible and change the result of the match. So, yeah, I mean, this could have been her three-week push, but it's now going to be 6 weeks of rehab, and who knows how long it's going to be before she's actually sort of on the main roster again, because it's not like she wrestled for a long time, got over, got injured, and then is going to come back. It's not like when she comes back, it's going to be like, wow, what a triumphant return. It's going to be like, isn't she that woman who got injured after 5 seconds in her first match?
Mm-hmm.
So it's really poor timing. I really feel bad for her. I mean, she's seems in sort of high-ish spirits. She posted these photos, which I'm flicking up on screen now, from the hospital. So there you go, thumbs up. There you can see the break itself. Now, I can't decide, Chopper and I can't decide, whether she's already had her arm broken, and that's from a previous break, the kind of metal bracket, or whether that has just been put in. To kind of help realign it. I don't know enough about arms.
I'm not a doctor, unfortunately.
Also, when does an arm become a wrist? And when does a wrist become an arm? Because everyone's reporting wrist.
Questions.
She said arm.
Yeah.
That looked like an arm to me. But then again, when I look at my wrist, I'm like, huh.
That's probably a wrist. Yeah. But it is the bone that goes in your arm. So it's technically like your arm bone has broken, but it is at your wrist point in the arm. So is it your wrist? Is it your anyway? She got injured and she was taken to hospital. Successfully had surgery from the looks of it, and assuming, you know, 6 weeks or so of recovery time. It's not the worst injury it could have been, but super unfortunate timing. And we've seen with Vince before, he goes cool on people very quickly once they get injured. We've seen it with people like Finn Balor, with The Revival, with AOP, people like that, that just once you get one injury, it's just like, oh, cool, they're weak. Never mind. We're not going to push them anymore. So I'm hoping this isn't the case for Chelsea Green and she still does get a chance to try and, you know, get herself over and actually perform properly on SmackDown. And I hope this isn't the end for her to just become a nothing character.
Sudden theory. Mm-hmm. Do you think she was supposed to be booked in this match? Or do you think someone else was supposed to be booked this match, but that someone else no longer works for the company?
I also thought the same thing just now as well. I wouldn't be surprised if it was supposed to be Zelina Vega. If you haven't seen the Rest of Talk news or haven't heard the news at all, Zelina Vega has been released from WWE. Apparently, according to reports, it was over the edict that WWE did recently of seizing their third-party platforms, such as Twitch and Cameo and things like that. Zelina obviously streams a lot on Twitch. She has an OnlyFans now as well for her cosplay. It was unfortunate timing, let's say.
Imagine getting record profits and then going, mm-hmm. Oh, do you know what, guys? We need more money.
Corporations.
It's pissed everyone off. Not a single person has gone, oh, I'm so glad they're seizing all this extra money that I've been making. Because without live shows, these people aren't getting their like live show money. Mm-hmm. They are getting, the reports are sort of getting similar amounts of merch sales because the kind of WWE shop is inundated because they can't, people can't go to live events. But to take away the only like extra, like, and it's, it almost takes the fun out of it for people as well, because if you're always sort of being monitored. So I'm not surprised at all that she's gone, do you know what? No. Screw this. I'm off.
Yeah. But anyway, back to what we were talking about, Chelsea Green's injury. I just wish her a speedy recovery, and I just hope this isn't the end of her, because she is pretty good. So I want her to actually have a fair shake on the main roster and not just be treated like nothing all the time. That wasn't the only women's segment on the show, though. We might as well talk about it now, because it was basically nothing, which was Sasha Banks coming out to say, to all the haters who said I couldn't retain, I retained. Look at me go. I'm awesome. Mm. And then Bayley came out, and then Carmella attacked Sasha Banks from behind, and Bayley evaporated. God, don't remind me of that picture.
There's Carmella.
Awful. Awful.
At
least put the banner back on the screen, Datsun. Come on.
Oh, I did. Sorry.
Amateur.
There you go. That is, I don't care about Carmella because they haven't made me care about Carmella. I care about her as a person, just not as a wrestler. We know they're going to go back to this Bayley feud anyway. This is a TLC feud, and then they'll go back to Bayley because there's no one else on the SmackDown roster that is seen as a legit, apart from Bianca Belair, but where was she on this show?
Yeah.
Like, apart from her, there is no one I'm thinking, oh yeah, they could actually have a genuinely good feud with Sasha Banks.
I mean, if Chelsea Green didn't get injured, I could at least as a temporary feud, as a first, like, as a but first shake at the title and her coming up short, I could see that.
I'm sure they could have decent matches, but I don't think WWE will book anyone else strongly, properly.
No, because you're right with.
Because they have so much help with the Bayley stuff, because it's already there. You don't need to do anything else. That you go, right, you know what your history is, go and do a story. But if it's like you want to push Liv Morgan, I mean, last time they tried to push Liv Morgan, they made her a lesbian with Lana on Raw. And is Liv Morgan no longer... Are they still in the Riot Squad? Is she now a single star?
They're still in the Riot Squad. Ruby Riot's qualified, lest we forget, for the Survivor Series.
Okay, so the Riot Squad, so that'll be a thing. But, like... I mean, Ruby Riot's amazing. Yeah. Liv Morgan is getting better every time you see her. But they just don't care, so they're not going to book them properly. They care about Bayley, and they care about Sasha, because they're the four horsewomen's. Two of the four horsewomen's.
Yeah, the segment itself was dumb. It didn't add anything to Carmella's attack from last week. It was exactly the same. It was a super kick face buster, except this time in the ring.
Bayley was
also there, much like last week. It's nothing. It's a nothing feud. It annoys me because they have so many talented women. Use them properly.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Do you like wrestling? Do you like improv? Do you like role-playing games? And you'll love No Roles Barred, presented by the WrestleTalk Podcast Network. Six players come together to create a fictional wrestling promotion, roll dice, and create the kind of insanity that real companies can only dream of creating. Can Tony the Milkman survive the twilight of his career and still find time to care for his wrestling son? Can the Denimatrix overcome the vicious Apex and achieve total denimation? Can brothers Golden Joe and Silver Bro coexist as a tag team before they combust? Find out now with the wrestling show that everyone's talking about. No Roles Barred is available wherever you get your podcasts and only presented on the WrestleTalk Podcast Network.
We now need to say thank you to some very special people, and those are our $25 and above pledge hammers on Patreon. If you haven't been to WrestleTalk's Patreon page yet, you should. Coming up very soon next week is going to be WrestleTalk Extra, which is going to be Survivor Series 2001, I believe, which is the Alliance versus Team WWF. Is it the winner take all one? Because it was the inaugural Brawl Invasion, which was
I don't
dumb.
Watch wrestling.
Yeah, I know you don't. But yeah, I believe it's the winner-take-all Alliance Team WWF Survivor Series show, the one after the invasion. So yeah, check that out. It'll be coming next week. So stay tuned for that and head on over. That's at a $5 tier. Loads of other tiers, loads of other benefits, including this one. You pledge at 25, you get your own custom wrestling nickname, and it gets read out on a show much like this one. So thank you to the mayor of Painesville, Dan. Woo!
Oh, yeah. Yes, Ryan B. Bad.
Woo! Yes, thank you very much. The British Bulldog, Philip Boy, J. Smith Jr. Woo!
Oh, thank yeah. You. Ryan Disco Stewart.
Woo! Yes, thank you very much. He's no jackass, Dano. Woo!
Oh, no, yes, he's not. Shield Maiden, the Zornice.
Woo! Yes, thank you very much. The Rocket, Dan Van Sky. Woo!
Yeah.
Yes, thank you very much.
The Snapdragon King, Ryu Udonte.
Yes, thank you very much. Rob Steiner Recliner. Woo!
Oh, amazing. Yeah. Manipulating Manu Maria.
Woo! Yes, thank you very much. The Pharaoh, Stephen Mazzaferro. Woo!
Oh, nice. That's a new one. Spoke in class today, Jeremy Smith.
Woo. Yes, thank you very much. Jack Daniels on the Carl Rocks. Lovely, thank you.
Wait, have you given yourself the last one?
Yeah.
Oh. Okay.
Come on, Andy.
Andrew the Last Airbender Mercogliano.
Thank you very much. And finally for today, Ross Pooper Scooper Cooper.
Woo! Oh, I was going to really overdo that last one.
Yeah, I thought
Pooper,
you
Scooper,
might.
Cooper.
Yeah, no, terrible, not happening. Let's get into a review of the full show. The show kicked off with Roman Reigns. Roman Reigns came out with Paul Heyman, and he cut a promo, which was actually pretty on the nose of him just being like, hey, look, I make everyone relevant. Just look at Jey Uso. He was a tag team guy, and now he's main eventing against Daniel Bryan and Kevin Owens, and he's great. And we're all like, yeah, you got a good point there, buddy. And then there's a really fun line. It's a nothing line, but I just really appreciated it because he may be facing either Randy Orton or Drew McIntyre at Survivor Series because they have a WWE Championship match on this coming episode of Raw. So whoever wins that will be facing Roman at Survivor Series. Really funny line from Roman. I just really appreciated him saying, when you think about Randy Orton, which I don't, and then just went on into the rest of the promo. It's just, I don't know why. I just really liked that line. And he was just saying how he's going to beat Orton. He respects his accomplishments, but he does not respect the man. But he doesn't mention Drew McIntyre at all as even a possibility of facing him. And because the brand split doesn't exist, out comes Drew McIntyre.
No, it's still Survivor Series. It is the one other night of the year where, yeah, this was like, I get it in terms of story, but they're supposed to be two things. And I mean, it's not like they didn't present this as an invasion. They were just like, oh, Drew McIntyre's here. I don't mind invasion storylines. Remember that brilliant one with Becky Lynch? Like, that's cool. You're like, wow, cool. SmackDown's invading Raw.
NXT invading. That was great. Yeah,
but this is just, oh, look, Drew McIntyre's here. Hi, Drew. How are you? Are you going to have a match? Yeah, go for it.
Yeah. Oh, man. I hate that. I hate it so much. Like, stick to your brand. The point that, like, if you're going to do brand warfare for Survivor Series, Raw versus SmackDown, surely the selling point of that is, like, you don't get to see these matchups anywhere else in the year. This is literally, if they're going to stick to it, the one night of the year where you will see Raw stars take on SmackDown stars. That's the big selling point, which is completely undermined when you have Raw stars facing SmackDown stars 2 weeks before Survivor Series.
And it's just this whole thing where you're like, does WWE really think its viewers are that stupid?
Yes.
Like, it is so insulting that you're like, oh, do you know what, guys? This is the one night of the year that this happens. But if it happens again, don't call us up on that, because this is the one night of the year.
See, the thing is, I remember, I can even remember tweeting this, when they first started doing the brand warfare stuff in 2016 at Survivor Series, I said at the time, I was like, this is completely meaningless. No one has, like, brand loyalty or anything, because the brands have literally only just begun. Like, there's no loyalty to either brand here, I said. But then I said, if they stick to it, if they actually stick to brands and they have, like, minimal trades between brands so that you get over, like, the course of a couple of years, these stars are associated with these brands, you could have something. It's quite exciting to have a bit of, like, inner competition. I think at a base level, having some sort of points-based competition between teams across the span of one night is a fun gimmick. But they just undermine the entire storytelling point of it by having complete redrafts of the brand all the time. People can just swap whenever they want, and stars from either brand just show up on either show. It seems like a small thing, but it undermines the entire point of Survivor Series. And, of course, there's no stakes. It's for pride and brand warfare, and it doesn't mean anything.
It doesn't help that you have the draft a month and a half before it.
Exactly.
And the draft, everyone who got pretty much drafted to Raw was on SmackDown. Everyone on the Raw team was basically on SmackDown like 3 weeks ago. So then it's like, oh, I'm so loyal to this brand I've been on for a month. It's like, no, you're not. We know you don't care, because you're probably going to get moved back in the next one.
Exactly. Yeah. It's really dumb. But anyway,
bring back another show. Like, we don't need Survivor Series anymore. Or if you want to do a show where there's everyone facing each other, just call it something else, or and don't have that tagline.
Just give it stakes. Just have a meaning for it, at least. And then there's actually a point for someone to be like, okay, I want Team Raw to win here, because then I get the opportunity to do this other thing.
Yeah.
Fine. Like, whatever.
If you're a survivor in one of the matches, you get a title match. Mm-hmm. Like, if there's two people who win from Raw, say, like, I don't know, I can't remember who's on the team, but like, if two of them win, they're like, okay, well, you can be in a triple threat or whatever like that for the title. Just make them want it. Even if it's a fake reason, at least give us a reason. Not just like, I love SmackDown, I want to win for SmackDown.
Yeah, exactly. Or I don't know how it would work entirely, but whoever, whatever brand wins the night is the one that gets the number 30 spot in the Royal Rumble. And then they, on their own show in the weeks afterwards, they have competitions and qualifying matches to see who gets that coveted number 30 spot. Because in kayfabe, that would be the spot you want. So just have them fight for it. Just have, make Survivor Series mean something. It's not hard. Anyway, before we get completely sidetracked, even though we already did, Drew McIntyre came out and a nice little line from McIntyre here saying, last time they were in the ring together, he was eliminating Roman to win the Royal Rumble. Do you remember? Nice. Which was a nice line. What wasn't quite so nice was him just being like, hey, you abandoned the fans when you took time off. I'm like, ooh, that's a bit uncomfortable.
Drew's not a heel. No. He was, first of all, he was shielding himself because he's got a compromised immune system. His wife is having twins, so he was shielding her. And yep. Drew, big babyface, comes out and goes, you abandoned the fans.
Yeah.
So I know Roman's a heel, but don't make Drew the dick in this situation.
No, it's weird. They did the same thing with Sammy when he came back and everyone was like, you left. How dare you leave? And it was like, ugh, it's just a bit uncomfortable. But besides that one line, I thought they'd cut some pretty decent promos saying that, you know, Drew was saying that Roman left and he had to step up. And Roman was saying, yeah, you did step up. And now I'm back. And no one cares who you are because everyone's watching SmackDown because everyone's watching me. And I was like, oh, he's got a point again, guys. It was really good.
Justified heels are the best kind of heels.
Totally, exactly. Jey Uso then runs out and kind of gets in between them, grabs a microphone and just says, hey, look, I did it to Daniel Bryan. I did it to Kevin Owens. You're being disrespectful. I'm going to have to put you in your place. And before the match gets like officially made, Roman and Jey and Paul Heyman walk away. Even the little things on it, I really enjoyed. Like Roman getting out through the middle rope and Jey dropping down to the bottom rope to get out. Just, that's cool. Keep doing that. Yeah. He's not worthy of getting out the same rope as Roman. Like that. It's great. I love it. After that as well, there's a little backstage segment where Roman was not happy about Jey coming out and just yelled at him for coming out and interfering. He said, I don't need you to handle my business. Know your place, essentially. He calls the shots, not Jey. And Jey was like, okay, I'm sorry. I'll go handle it. It's fine. I'm sorry. And eventually that match does get made for the main event with not the GM Adam Pearce and Drew McIntyre backstage. Drew saying, I want to fight. And Adam Pearce goes, okay. And then they made the match for the main event.
Yes.
Nice. We got an Intercontinental Championship match next, which was Sami Zayn versus Apollo Crews. That was made out of nowhere. Sure. I'm glad that Sami was on the show. This match lasted a minute, 2 minutes, and Sami Zayn went outside, pulled the apron off, and then tied Apollo's leg in the metal framework, of the ring, and then got back in the ring, and he got counted out for 10.
Yes, it is.
Cool.
Toriano turns up in...
yeah. I like how you can make those references now you've watched the G1 for 1 year.
It was just like, what are you doing? Like,
I mean,
especially because he did such a bad job of tying his foot up as well. Like,
yeah.
It was like his foot is not stuck. I can see that he can get his foot out.
Yeah, he can. It's like, you know, when people get tied up in the ropes.
Yeah, when they're like, their arms like that. Like, just take your arms out, you idiot.
Just take your arms down. Yeah, it was kind of like that. And I know what they're going for. Is that Sammy's really sneaky and he's actually really smart around the ring. Like, you know, the whole finish at, was it Hell in a Cell, where they had the triple threat ladder match, where, you know, he was handcuffing AJ, then he had the key so he could untie the handcuffs to then recuff AJ to the ladder and then get up. That was really smart. That's really cool. I get what they're trying to do. It didn't work for this one, I don't think. It was just a bit dumb.
At least it's not as stupid as the double stomp, where you're in the tree of woe where your legs are caught up and you go, you grab the top rope and go, hey, mate, what are you doing up there? Look,
yeah.
What are you doing? I'm just going to hang here. Mm-hmm. That's the dumbest spot in wrestling.
There. In wrestling?
That's the dumbest spot
in wrestling.
Yes.
It's a bold claim, that one. The dumbest spot in wrestling. Wow. Yeah, so Sami Zayn retained via countout. Cool. Didn't really do anything for either of them, I'd say. We had the Drew getting his match with Adam Pearce. Then we had Rey Mysterio with Caleb Braxton with all his family saying this isn't about his eye that he lost in the eye for an eye match. This is about his family because it's going to be Rey Mysterio versus Seth Rollins in the final chapter of their feud.
Yeah.
About right. time. If it's true.
Once in a lifetime.
Yeah, once in a lifetime. This isn't about his eye. This is about his family. So they're going to have a match later on. We got the Sasha Banks segment next, which was nothing. And then we got Otis backstage, was eating a lot. And then Dolph Ziggler and Bobby Roode came in and said, he's eating a lot. And then Otis flipped the table with the food on. I was like, what's happening?
This is now Otis's gimmick, isn't it? This is what he was. This is his thing. This is what he was with Mandy Rose. Basically, she was getting him hams. But now he hasn't got anyone to riff off. He's just a guy. He's just a chubby guy who eats backstage.
Yeah.
He hasn't got Tucker. Tucker's now a jobber on Raw.
Yeah.
And Otis has now kind of been demoted to having matches because someone said, you're eating a bit much, mate.
And it was at this point in the show as well where I was just like, what's happening on SmackDown? Because this was like four back-to-back segments that lasted about a minute and nothing happened. And I was like, guys, what's going on?
You know, because you're booking Otis as like the oversensitive girlfriend who when you go, are you sure you should be having a second? Or we're just about dinner. Are you sure you want that packet of crisps? And they go, are you saying that I'm fat? Are you saying I'm eating too much? I'm going to have a fight with you. Like, that's not a wrestling gimmick. That's not a wrestling gimmick. It doesn't make me think he's cool. And then he goes out and wins immediately. So all it does is make him look like a fat guy who eats food. And Dolph Ziggler like an idiot for challenging him.
Yeah. Dolph Ziggler versus Otis. Hey, remember when they had that WrestleMania match? When they actually had a story? Otis absolutely squashed him. Dolph did get a zigzag in, which Otis kicked out of, thanks to a rude distraction. But then he hit the caterpillar, and then Rude tried to interfere again, and he went, "Urr." And then Rude went, oh, I'm sorry, I won't touch you. And then he hit a splash and anyone. Don't care.
I'm
sorry, now, I don't care.
And the SmackDown tag champions are feuding with one person. And you're making your actual tag teams look like idiots.
Yeah, that sounds about right, yeah. The only mildly interesting thing from this came after the match, where backstage, Otis is talking to himself, and then Chad Gable comes up to him and says, you could be doing this all the time. You just need someone to unlock your potential. You've got all the potential in the world. You need the Alpha Academy. And he gives him this little leaflet with Alpha Academy on the front of it. Otis gets really pumped about it, really jazzed. He's like, yeah, we're going to lift weights. We're going to do all the stuff. We're going to get great. And then he walks off, and then Chad Gable does his very evil, sinister grin as he walks off.
You realize this is going to be like 3 weeks of comedy skits of Otis lifting lifting food.
Possibly. It's going to be Chad Gable, the exasperated coach.
Something like, Chad will be like, oh, make sure you're doing your reps. Mm-hmm. And then it'll be like, Otis will go, and then he'll turn around and go, Otis, what are you doing? And you said, oh, you said, make sure I'm eating crepes or something like that. and it'll be like, that would be funny, but it'll be like, oh.
I'm not laughing because it's funny. I'm laughing because that's actually pretty good to come up with off the top of your head.
Thank you very much. And I don't think this is going to go anywhere.
I think you're giving them too much credit. I don't think it's going to be any comedy skits. I think it's going to be Chad Gable is in Otis's corner. There you go.
That ringside, I wish Jason Jordan was fit and able to wrestle.
Hey,
because then he could realign with Chad Gable.
I like the name, the Alpha Academy. Playing off American Alpha.
It's also the AA.
Jason Jordan coming back. You know, the teasers are in. I doubt it, but the Alpha Academy is a good name, at least. It's not terrible.
Change the thumbnail. Jason Jordan returning.
We should do that, shouldn't we? Yeah. But yeah, after that, we got the final chapter of Rey Mysterio versus Seth Rollins, which was a no-holds-barred match. So I know that both of us have a lot to say about this match, for one particular bit, but we'll get to that in a minute. So they had a really good video package, as always. It's WWE, recapping kind of their whole feud so far. I then made a note that said, is Murphy going to do that thing where he won't help Rey until the very end when it looks like Rey is going to lose for no reason? I'll come back to that one later. They had some really cool spots in this match. There was a really early one where Seth had Rey up kind of on his shoulders and Rey turned around into a tornado DDT on the apron, which looked really cool. There was a powerbomb through a table. There was some cool, like, Rey sliding under the bottom rope spots into a like Seth caught him and suplexed him onto the announce table. There's another one where Seth was lying on the steps and Rey went out and splashed him on the steps. It was cool. It was a fun match. These two are really good wrestlers. Hot take. But yeah, there was a powerbomb through the table, and then Seth kind of almost went too far when he took off the little stubs, the little rubbery bits on the end of a chair leg, and went to go gouge out Ray's other eye. Oh,
frankly, I'm surprised that referee from Hell in a Cell last year didn't run in and stop the match because of Seth going too far.
I know, too far. It's no holds barred. Can't DQ no holds barred, much like you can't no DQ Hell in a Cell. So yeah, Dominic gets involved because that's crossing the line. He drags Seth out the ring. Yeah, and Seth super kicks him and then gets back in the ring. And it's at this point that Murphy decides to unveil his grand master plan, which is he got back in the ring. He helped Seth get to his feet. He handed him a chair. He went over to Rey Mysterio and picked him up like he was going to hold him in place for Seth to hit him with the chair. But then he hit a knee on Seth instead. And then he got out of the ring and Seth went to go chase him. He said, well, what are you doing? And put himself on the second rope. Rey then botched a 619, which is a shame, but then hit it properly. On the second try, went and hit a 619 onto Seth and then hit the frog splash, the Eddie Guerrero frog splash. Did a little tribute to him on the top rope and then won. And then after the match, Rey and Dominic both shook Murphy's hand, giving their approval for Murphy and Aaliyah to be together.
I want to do it.
I mean, I think we'll both get a chance here.
All right.
Let's talk about Murphy's plan. So his plan.
Pete can't do it. I'm going to do it. So he said last week to Aaliyah, I have this crazy plan. You've got to trust me.
It's for the greater good.
Just trust me. So first of all, you've got to, for this to happen, you've got to assume that Seth doesn't watch SmackDown back. Seth's not watching any of this. He doesn't watch TV between, and he hasn't been tweeted in a week saying, did you see this, mate? Or one of his friends doesn't text him saying, you should probably watch out for Murphy. He's clearly scheming edgy. You've got to accept that. Then you have to accept that the most intelligent thing, the best plan Murphy could come up with was to just kick someone the week after pretending to align with them. So that's stupid because you're making Murphy look like an idiot because it's like that's the only thing he can think of. You're making Seth look like an idiot for believing him. Seth spent like 5 weeks being kicked and beaten up by Murphy. And then he walks up to him and goes, you are the Messiah. And Seth goes, ha, ha, ha. And like he accepts that Murphy's now back on his side for some reason. And then he's surprised when Murphy turns on him immediately. It just makes them both look like idiots. Like, no one came out of this match looking any better.
Yeah. And Rey didn't look better either because he won with assistance.
Yeah. And then he goes, yes, do you know what, man I've known briefly? You can be with my daughter who, like, Disney princess levels of falling in love quickly. It was like Anna in Frozen, who after totally. Like one song goes, "I'm going to marry this guy." It's like, yeah. whoa. Yeah. No wonder your sister thinks you're an idiot.
So, just to go over this plan, he made sure that Seth qualified for the Survivor Series team last week to try and get him on side, right? For him to believe that he was on his side again. So his plan was to not interfere in a no-holds-barred match until a certain point when it looked like Seth was not going to win, because he wasn't really. He just went to go gouge out the eye, but then Dominic got involved. So he decided that was the moment that he wanted to hit a knee onto Seth. And then he knew that if he got out the ring, Seth would chase him and put himself on the second rope so that Ray could hit the 619 and then he'd win. Here's my question. Why don't you just beat him up? Because it's a no holds barred match. You could just do that. What's the surprise for? Why go on side to then betray him again? Why don't you just not do that?
The only argument I can find is that Murphy's plan was actually something else, but so he was going to stay on Seth's side, but he realized that Seth was going too far. I was like, do you know what? I have to step in here. That's the only explanation they can even attempt.
And
other than that, it's just Murphy was an idiot.
Yeah. And the thing is, as well, if it wasn't a no holds barred match, I could sort of maybe understand it, maybe, for that he has to wait for the right time to interfere to cost Seth because he has to wait for the referee to not look, right? And he has to bide his time for the right moment to capitalize so that Ray can win off the back of it. Still doesn't explain the whole going on his side to then betray him again, but it explains why he wouldn't interfere in the match until a certain point. This was a no-holds-barred match. Just get in the ring and beat him up, mate. There is nothing stopping you. There's nothing stopping just Ray, Dominic, and Murphy just laying into Seth. Do that.
I've never understood why people in no holds barred matches don't just turn up with an axe or a baseball bat. Just both of them turn up. You just completely just destroy the other person in like 3 seconds.
Yeah.
It's
so
Sting
dumb.
Had the right idea.
Yeah. And the thing is, if you don't think about it, it's a cool moment. If you literally just shut off your brain for a minute and just go, oh, cool, he turned on him. Cool, fine. But if you think about it for a second, everything just starts falling apart. And that is basically this show as a whole, was if you think about it for a second, none of it makes sense.
Mm. And Ray now goes, wow, that man is incredibly violent. Yes, I want him to be with my daughter.
Yeah, totally. Look, he showed his true colors here by pretending to be on his side so he could... He's so smart, you see, that he went on his side to betray him again because the surprise factor is what really turned the tides. It wasn't the knee, it was what was behind the knee. It was the message that he sent.
Next week, we're going to have the Mysterio family karaoke hosted by Jimmy Uso, and it'll be Ray singing... And I see your true colors shining through. And Murphy will be sitting there just with arm in arm with Aaliyah.
And then Angie will turn heel because she didn't win.
Yeah, Angie walks up to Ray, kicks him, redoes the Linda McMahon spot, kicks Ray in the penis.
Yeah.
And then Dominic, for some reason, does a coast to coast. I'm just booking this match.
God, I think we're tired, mate.
Everyone
I think
turns
we're
on
a
Ray.
Bit loopy. Mm. Oh, man. After that was the women's stuff with Natalia backstage asking to be qualified. The triple threat that got turned into a fatal four with Chelsea Green's injury. Drew then backstage has a promo with Kayla Braxton where he says nothing. And then you had Street Profits and Big E continuing their kind of... I quite like the idea behind this promo of being like, they're trying to get Big E on side because they're on SmackDown. But Big E actually has some sense and prefers his teammates, who happen to be on Raw. He still wants them to win because they're his teammates. That makes sense. So Street Profits come out with a really elaborate way to say, haha, screw you, with some like food and stuff on a serving trolley. And then he like takes the dishes off and he says, why are these all these things shaped in L's? And Street Profits say, well, at Survivor Series, we're going to be serving L's. I was like, that's a convoluted way to do a joke, but okay. But then Big E had a really good line when he said, well, actually, at Survivor Series, you're going to see that the best you could ever be is New Day Light. The best you could ever be is a knockoff New Day. And I was like, oh, that's actually a really good line. Nice one, Big E. Yes. And then they all laughed. And Big E walked off, and Montez Ford and Andrew Dawkins went, ooh.
I'm still waiting for a proper Big E push. This yeah. feels very much like, huh, well, they're charismatic and black. So's he. Let's put them together. They'll probably do a good segment.
I mean, I'm hoping, if I'm going to be optimistic here, I'm hoping that they're holding off on the Big E push until after Survivor Series, because they don't have anything for him to do that's brand versus brand stuff. So they're just using him to further the Street Profits New Day feud Survivor Series.
I mean, I feel like Profits are going to win because Big E said that.
I don't know. I feel like New Day are going to win because they're the New Day.
But if Profits now lose, Big E's right in saying that they're not very good. And then it just makes the SmackDown Tag Team Division, which is already terrible, look even worse.
Yep, that's true. We're going to be getting Murphy versus Rollins next week because Rollins was very mad.
The final chapter.
Yeah, Rollins was very mad backstage at Adam Pearce being like, Murphy betrayed me, blah, 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 blah. And
the season premiere of Murphy versus Seth Rollins next week.
And because Murphy's now, I guess, dating Aaliyah, then he's kind of associated with the Mysterios. So it is really just Rollins still feuding with the Mysterios.
Murphy Mysterio.
That's his name. Don't wear Mysterio. It out. I hate you. Yeah. And then we had the main event of Jey Uso versus Drew McIntyre, which is supposedly an unsanctioned match. Unsanctioned. Remember that. Unsanctioned match. Really cool match. Really cool offense from both of them. Really enjoying Jey Uso as a heel. I think he's doing great work. Drew McIntyre is fantastic. We know that. The referee starts calling for rope breaks and starts counting them out when they're outside the ring. Mm. How is that an unsanctioned match then? That is just a singles match. That's just a singles match. What's different? How is it an unsanctioned match?
Maybe because Drew's on Raw?
I think that's their theory. That's the way they get around the loophole of being like, well, we have to do an unsanctioned match because Drew's
a
Raw
star. We didn't
know
Drew was here. We just played his music.
Right? They didn't know that Drew was there, but then you've had Raw versus SmackDown matches before that were sanctioned. Why is this? If it's going to be unsanctioned, then have it be an unsanctioned match.
It's because there are no authority figures.
It makes me so mad because if you think about it for a second, nothing makes sense. That's the theme of this show. Anyway, Roman comes out after it looks like Drew is going to hit a claymore. Jay rolls out the ring. Roman Reigns comes out and he starts watching from ringside, which is WWE's new favorite thing. Jay then gets back in control with the distraction and he turns to Roman and he says, yeah, I'm going to beat him. Don't worry, I got him. He slides into the ring. Roman grabs his ankle and pulls him back out. And he's like, I don't care if you beat him, make him understand. And I was like,
That's
very good. Jey Uso then got back in the ring and just started pummeling away on McIntyre, just like he did to Jay at Clash of Champions. Just left and right on top of him. And as he gets up from it, he just goes, yeah, turns around, claymore, straight in his face, which was a nice spot. I really enjoyed that. Drew just no-selling it. And Drew picks up the win. Drew then rolls out the ring and stares down with Roman to be like, do you understand me now? And Roman just kind of shrugs the title that's on his shoulders, being like, get one of these and then we can talk. And then he walked off. You know what? It was really dumb that Drew was on Raw and the unsanctioned thing really doesn't make sense. it's done a really good job of building Drew versus Orton on Monday, because I genuinely believe that Drew actually has a chance of winning now, where I didn't think he had a chance before.
Absolutely. It does make Kevin Owens and Daniel Bryan look a bit crap, because if Drew's just no-selling Jay's offense, and then Jay's easily beating the other two.
I wouldn't say it was a proper, like, it wasn't a no-sell, no-sell. It was a good Drew no-sell, if that makes sense. And I think it somewhat protected Jay in that he was in control, but then he got dragged out by Roman. So you could make the argument that Roman was the one who really cost Jay. I don't think it hurts him too much. Plus, it's Drew McIntyre, who's just been WWE champion for...
Yeah, I know. It's just because the rumor is that the next challenger for Roman is Bryan, and then Jay's beating Bryan, and then Drew's just beating Jay. And I guess I don't really think they're far ahead.
No. And also, you could make a story where Daniel Bryan comes back better than ever, and now he's not going to underestimate Jay or Roman or whatever, and that's fine. You can play that off. I'm actually quite excited about the possibility of Drew versus Roman at Survivor Series. I hope they do that now. I don't know how I feel about Drew just winning the title back on an episode of Raw, but they've made me excited for the match, and if they don't do it now, that's on them, because they made me excited for a match that's not going to happen.
I guess they did it when with Jinder on SmackDown a couple of years ago. Like, oh, we don't actually want to book this match.
I'm
looking forward to Jimmy returning as well to reform J&J security for Roman Reigns.
That's
I really like this feud, so I'm not going to be too hard on it. But the show as a whole was confusing.
Yeah,
it didn't make a lot of sense. I think it is a 2.5 out of 5, because some of the wrestling was actually really good. It's just it didn't make sense.
Yeah, I mean, we've actually started doing polls on Twitter again, because YouTube doesn't let us do polls for like the news episodes and stuff anymore. But we've done a poll on Twitter, and according to the poll, excuse me, because you can only have four options on the Twitter poll. So we've done excellent, good, poor, terrible. About 50% of people voted for good for the show, which I disagree with. I thought this was a poor show on that rating scale, because the vast majority of the show was complete throwaway nothingness. It was stuff that lasted a minute. It was stuff that didn't further any stories or retreading of the same stories. It was just a bit bleh. The stuff that was good was good, but there wasn't anything like, oh my God, that was amazing on this show. There's stuff that was good, but there was a lot of stuff that was bad. I'd say it was poor. That's just me though. I'd give it a poor on the Twitter scale, and I'd also give it a 2 out of 5 on the our old scale, I guess.
God, you've been away for 2 weeks. You come back as just being so negative. I've been positive all show.
So I've got one email here I'd like to read out from the headmaster, Jonathan Hedman, who has actually been helping us recently. I don't know whether it's been mentioned on the podcast or not, but he's actually been helping us gather some images and such for the list videos that, that Adam does on the weekends. Because there's a lot of images. Obviously, it's a voiceover video, so you don't have any presenters on there, so you've just got pictures for the whole thing. So it's a lot of pictures that need guessing. So we've recruited Jonathan Hedman to try and help ease that process, and he's done a pretty good job so far.
Yes. Thanks, Jonathan. Very good, I would say. Pretty good. Don't undersell him, Chopper. I know you're in the authority and therefore a bastard. But you don't have to be so. What's he got to say?
He says the subject of the email is thank you and silly question. So I'm on board already. So he says, just wanted to drop a line and say thanks for the content that's been put out on all the various platforms. Parts of Unknown, Wrestle 2, Cineworld, of course, the original Wrestle Talk. No phenomenerds in there. Screw phenomenerds. But on a more serious note, it's been an extremely difficult past 3 months. Gained weight, 20 pounds, a bit dropped 5 or 6 back. So working on getting back under 300, was displaced from where I was staying, and just overall not having a good time except for helping with the list videos, as I mentioned before. Luckily, I've been able to have a laugh and forget things watching your content or listening to the podcast version. By the way, I would have done really well in the Halloween cinema quiz. On a more silly side of things, If you could only have one superpower and you still had to be in your everyday life, what power would you want? And please also give a reason why that power would also stink. For example, if you say I want the ability to fly, I would counter, well, without the super lungs, you wouldn't really be able to fly high because of the lack of oxygen at higher altitudes, and you're probably only flying as fast as you can run. Invisibility, you'd have to be naked to be truly invisible, and that's just gross. Anyway, sorry for the rambling. Have a great weekend and jam that jam, Jonathan the Headmaster Headman.
Nothing wrong with being naked. That sounds like the monkey's paw. I don't know if you've been on the monkey's paw or on Reddit, but basically it's like, I wish this happened. And then some people in the comments like, wish granted, however. And then they would like give you the sort of the negative side effects.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad that we've been able to bring you some joy. I'm sorry that the other things haven't been going so well, Jonathan. But I'm glad we've been able to sort of distract you a bit from that. What else? Well, oh, sorry, I've got no concentration.
No, it was the superpower.
He said one more thing. Oh, yeah, the cinema quiz.
The Halloween, the cinema.
Genuinely, I think I would have got 3 points. I don't know if you watched it.
Yeah, I did.
I watched the whole thing for some reason just to see how much Luke would win by. It was a lot. I would have just been awful.
If it's about Halloween movies, I would have done terribly. I don't watch like horror stuff, so yeah.
The only one I would have got was it was like name the theme tune, and it was like doo doo. I was like, well, yeah. I think I know that one.
Yeah.
Other than that, I would genuinely not have known. But superpowers, yes. Yeah, so it was like, oh well, yeah, I'd fly. But they're like he said, you couldn't fly high because you would just die from air pressure, like lack of air. You wouldn't be able to breathe up high, and you'd freeze. Although I still wouldn't mind flying like 20 meters up. That'd still be fun.
That'd be cool.
I think. Do you ever watch the TV show Bernard's Watch?
Oh my god, that was my answer! How dare you?
So, just to be able to pause time and walk around.
Just stop time. Just stop time.
And be like, just walk up to someone and grab their hand and put it up their nose and go, hey, and run away.
Yeah.
And then start again. They'd be like, huh?
What?
I don't know why I had to do that for podcast. I put my finger up my nose.
You did put your finger up your nose. You did not have to do that.
No. What other ones are there?
No. That I'm sorry, but that just is the answer, is the ability to stop time. Because there are literally no drawbacks. If you have the ability to pause and unpause at your will...
What if you still age?
Because
I could like pause time for a day, but I still age a day, but no one else does.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, that's very possible if you let it get out of hand. If you pause for like a day, that's fine. No one's going to notice a day difference. But if you get to a point where you're pausing for months at a time, that could lead to some problems.
Yeah, because like there'd be moments where you'd be walking along the street and you'd see someone about to be run over. You'd be like, pause or whatever. I don't know how you do it. Click your fingers. I mean, I can't click. So I'd be screwed. But you could stop that from happening, but it's like how much you stop. How much do you stop the universe from doing what the universe was planning?
See, the problem you've done there is that's someone who's actually quite selfless, whereas me, pretty selfish. So I'd be fine. Mm.
you just pause.
I would
time,
literally run
into a wrestling ring, take a picture, go, well, hey, I'm here, and then run out again, and no one would know.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, genuinely, I would pause time so I'd have more time in the day to do work. I would pause time so I could have an extended lunch break, maybe get in a couple of runs of Hades before I go back to work. And no time's passed. Amazing. That's what I'd use my superpower for.
What a loser.
I know. You have to continue your everyday life. You don't become a superhero.
No, but the thing is, when I finish work, I finish work at like 6, and then I've got 6 hours before I go to bed. So it's not like
going to bed at midnight would be amazing.
I don't feel like I have that like sort of worry that like, oh my god, I haven't got enough time to play video games because it's lockdown and therefore I have so much time to do everything but only things inside. I've been going quite long walks, but then the shoes I bought to go on these long walks are not good, so I now have very sore Achilles tendon on my left foot. So I'm going to have to try and rest for a couple of days now and then try again and walk on Monday, because I really can't afford to have bad ankles right now. So
yeah,
that's my first world problem.
My problem with time is that I start work very early. I start at 7 a.m. In the last like week, I've been getting up about 5:30. And then I do a workout in the morning and get myself situated, breakfast, everything. So at 7 a.m. I can sit down and start working. Normally doing something related to the news video, writing a script or getting images and such. We have a meeting that we do at 11 a.m. And then after that, I'll be watching the news video once it's edited to sign it off. And then I'll have some lunch. And then I've got some other stuff to do in the afternoon. But by the time, because there's some stuff that I'm required for that goes quite late on, like making the Wrestling Daily thumbnail, which you can't do too early in the day in case more news breaks and things like that, I actually end up turning off completely from work at maybe like 5 to 6 p.m. I've been working for like 11 hours, so then I need to make sure I'm in bed by like 9 p.m if I'm getting up at 5, so I can like just try and unwind and hopefully get to sleep by at latest 10. So I feel like I don't have enough time. That's why I want to just have more of it.
Sounds like you need to offload some of your responsibilities.
Nah, man. I can't do that.
Why not?
I just can't.
You could quite comfortably do that. That's one of the things. I used to have too much. And then I said, no, you're now doing that. And then I didn't have too much. And now I have the right amount.
See, the problem is, and anyone who's seen Wrestle Talk since I've been away will attest to this, I'm the only one who can make good thumbnails.
No. I have made some fantastic match graphics for Survivor Jams. And
yeah.
You can't even deny it.
They're good.
They are. They're perfect. Hey. Look, if you weren't so selfish and you taught someone or showed someone how to do thumbnails when you were away, then it wouldn't be an issue. And then someone else could do the Wrestling Daily thumbnail so that you don't have to do it.
Yeah.
I think you're just so self-absorbed only think that you're the only person in the world who can do these things.
Totally, yeah. The other issue with Wrestling Daily is the fact that I actually sort of run Wrestle 2. So Wrestling Daily is something that I actually need to be involved in. So I actually do need to oversee what the thumbnail is and the title and all that stuff. That's kind of my jurisdiction, which has to be done later on. So,
but couldn't you like work till like 3 or 4, take an hour and a half off, and then just check in for the thumbnail?
You know what? I could do that. I could. I physically can't do that. Because if work's there, I'm there. It's like if Discord's open, I'm just gonna check it. You know, it's just there. I've got to. So I have serious problems turning off.
I'm gonna be your occupational therapist here. I had this problem too. So I would be like, okay, there's still 8 things on my list that I want to do today, but it is getting close to when I'm supposed to be finishing work. I'll just do these 3 things, and then I'll stop. And then I would do all of them, and then it would be 2 hours later. And I go, "Oh crap! Now I've done it." So you just got to start forcing. You got to start like planning. Like, okay, at 5 o'clock, I'm going to go for a walk, and therefore, there's a thing, a physical thing blocking you from doing work, which is what I've now started doing because I found that I was not stopping.
Yes, that's incredibly relatable, and I even had a moment yesterday. Where, I mean, I've been fed up with lockdown since it started, pretty much. I think I mentioned in like podcasts back in March, I was like, I'm so bored of working at home. I just want to be back in the office at this point. I had a moment yesterday. I was like, man, I've just had enough. Like, I'm so done with all of this.
Do you know what the last day we all saw each other was?
23rd of March was when lockdown properly started, right? Something like that. But I was home like a week before that. You were home before the official lockdown, I'm pretty sure as well. So the last time we all saw each other, I don't know.
It was the 12th of March.
Oh my God.
And since then, I've only seen you and Laurie in person. That was for like 3 minutes. Actually, I saw Louis for one day. Because we both went into the office that day. And then we played football. But yeah, I haven't seen Ollie in person, I haven't seen Luke in person, I haven't seen Adam in person. Yeah, it's gonna be like, and they're saying like we're getting close to a vaccine and we might be able to roll it out until next might be able to roll it out actually. To be honest, I don't think I'm going to be top of the list of, we need to get the vaccine to this healthy 25-year-old. It'll be for vulnerable people, which is fair enough. I'm not going to be like, hey, man, where's my vaccine, bro? That's how I talk to doctors. it is going to be so weird when Ollie goes, guys, we're going back to the office next week. And I'm like,
and he can literally just be like, anyone who's got a vaccine, come back into the office. We're going to be like, what? It's going to be so weird. But I'm
vulnerable in our office.
I mean, in general, who's the most sensitive, or who's the most vulnerable?
Who's the most sensitive?
Luke cries at everything.
That's true.
Yeah, I'm pretty close. Also. I cry at a lot of stuff, and I do let a lot of stuff get to me, which I shouldn't.
I only get teary if I see someone who's my friend get teary. Mm. And I'm like, oh, yeah, man, don't you cry.
Yeah.
I'm empathizing so hard right now.
Yeah.
But I think Luke's also the oldest. So he's, true. I mean, he's almost retiring.
He's the most at risk then, isn't he?
Yeah, Luke's at risk. Oh man, it's gonna be weird. Like just being in an office going, hi, how was your day? Oh, great seeing you yesterday.
Not even that. Being able to hug, shake hands. Whoa, what's that? I haven't done that in months.
Yeah, I know. See more than three people at a time or whatever. I mean, not that I have three friends, but I've heard it's nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, I honestly can't wait, but I'm not going to get optimistic because this virus has burned me too many times.
I know. Yeah, I'm trying not to get my hopes up right now. Anyway, on that rather depressing note, let's bring it to a close here today. Thank you very much for listening, everyone. I really do appreciate you all hanging out. We'll be back soon. It's Survivor Jams next week. And we're going to have the Ollie Thority versus Team Lukewarm on our live reaction stream. It's me, Mr. Davis, and new Ollie Thority recruit, Nougay, Louis Dangour, versus Team Lukewarm, which at the minute is Luke. So whoever he decides to recruit, if he can find anyone, would be great. Check that out. And we're going to be back for SmackDown and stuff later on next week. Goodbye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.